Well, first of all, thank you for your welcome this morning. It's great to be coming and sharing in your harvest celebration and to be thinking again about what we've just been singing about, the wonders of creation's King, our God, what he does in creation, what he does in the world around us, and what he does in and through our lives. Celebrating the harvest, it's about all sorts of things, isn't it? It's about thankfulness. It is about recognizing the wonder of creation that so often passes us by. It's about noticing again the beauty of what God does and how he does it. It's about reminding ourselves that God is always at work behind the scenes. It's a beautiful reminder that our work, as we work with God, is rewarded. And that his generosity means that what we do, the work of our hands, matters, makes a difference. Another thing harvest is about is the celebration of fruitfulness. Fruitfulness, as you'll know, is a big theme in the Bible in another sense. Spiritual fruitfulness in our individual lives and also in our church life. You know how it is. Those famous harvest sings, the hymns that we often sing, they start with the natural world and then so often they move into what God is doing in our lives and what God is doing in unveiling and unfolding the work of his kingdom. Fruitfulness. Just as townies, and I'm a townie here this morning celebrating the harvest, and many of you are. And so we struggle with the harvest. We drive past the fields, and we don't really notice what's going on, the sowing and the planting and the growing. And sometimes we come to imagine, don't we, that our food comes direct from the shelf at Marks and Spencer's. That's just how it is, straight off the shelf into the trolley. Sometimes it can be the same, can't it, in our lives with spiritual fruitfulness. We're not really looking for it. We're not really noticing it. It kind of passes us by in the busyness of life, and as year follows year, and as one difficult thing comes into our lives, or one good thing comes into our lives, and all of it just washes over us. We can miss the importance of this central biblical theme of a life of fruitfulness. How often do we stop to ask, what is God growing in my life? What is bearing fruit? What has gone a bit barren, if I'm honest? Where is God at work in and through my life? Where is God at work in us and through us as a congregation here in Hamilton Road? They're hard questions. They're deep questions. They're uncomfortable questions. They're not always questions we can answer quickly or easily. But we need to be looking for spiritual fruitfulness. And what is that? What are we looking for? Well, one thing we're looking for is increasing breadth. Paul, in his day, when he's talking about the spread of the gospel, said this: all over the world, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing. In this context, it's about people coming to faith. It's about a season of harvesting. Growing in breadth. Do we look for that? Do we see that in our personal relationships with others, with whom God has put us side by side that we might show and share his gospel? Do we look for that in our family life? Do we look for that in our church work, a growing breadth of fruitfulness? Sometimes this is what we're looking for, though. We're looking for a growing depth of fruitfulness. Galatians 5, 22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Here is the fruit of a deepening spiritual life. It's about strength. It's about increasing rootedness in a world that wants to tear up our spiritual roots and does so in all sorts of ways and bombards us with things that tell us that these things aren't important anymore. It's what's instant that's important. It's not depth. They're about the beauty of a life that is shaped by God's word, lived out in experience, in relationship. It's about the beauty of a maturing Christian life, growing in depth. Now, I did what we always do with this verse a moment or two ago. I just rhymed those things off. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. None of them grow quickly, do they? None of them grow easily, do they? None of them come naturally, do they? They're the deep work of God in our lives. But again, are we looking for that? Do we see that increasing depth of spiritual fruitfulness? How about this? Looking for spiritual fruitfulness, we're looking for something that lasts. Now we're moving into that passage that we read, John chapter 15, where Jesus says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last," or fruit that will abide. Real spiritual fruitfulness has this quality about it. It endures. It lasts. It's not hype. It's not froth. It's not flighty. It's genuinely life transforming. It leaves an amazing legacy behind it. It lasts. Without being cynical, and it's easy to be cynical, isn't it? Am I allowed to notice this morning that this is increasingly rare these days? That the generation of Christians that I grew up with when I was a young person and I looked up to seem to have a bit more of this about them than I do, or maybe we do today. But more positively, whenever you see fruit like this, doesn't it stand out all the more whenever you see it? Don't you notice someone who has this about them and you say, wow, there's something lasting about that. There's some breadth in that. There's some depth in that. A life that is fruitful. Let's delve into Jesus' picture of fruitfulness in John chapter 15. And what an amazing children's address that was. You know, didn't it so graphically point out to us how ridiculous it is to think that our lives can be spiritually fruitful without abiding in Jesus and without Jesus abiding in us? It was a great children's address, and it was utterly ridiculous at the same time. We just can't grow fruit like that if we're not connected to the vine, if the branch isn't connected to the tree. So hear that this morning, and let's acknowledge that this morning. And let's not assume that that happens. But I want to move past that in this passage this morning a little bit to think about what spiritual fruitfulness looks like whenever we are abiding in Jesus, and what spiritual fruitfulness feels like whenever we are abiding in Jesus and his life is working itself out in and through our lives. And really all I'm going to do this morning is take you back into this passage and open up a few of its pictures, because this is an art gallery we're going into this morning. This is an art gallery. And we're going to travel round the walls of this art gallery that Jesus gives us, because what he gives us here is a series of pictures of fruitfulness. And we're going to have a look at them. And I want to encourage you and challenge you to think about which of these pictures jumps out for you this morning. You know, there you all are in front of you. I know one or two of you. I was sitting down there and I looked up and I thought, oh, there's so-and-so. I didn't know they came here. I don't know most of you. So I have no idea this morning what's going on in your life. I've no idea of your circumstances. I've no idea of your situation, but God has. And as God opens up his word this morning, the challenge and the opportunity is to hear, what is God saying to me right here, right now, about spiritual fruitfulness in my life? In the place that he's put me, in the situation I'm going through, in the changing seasons of what's happening just now. So here's the first thing to notice in John chapter 15 about growing in fruitfulness. The picture that Jesus gives us of the spiritual life is a field and not a factory. It's a field and not a factory. Verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. You see, it's an agricultural picture. It's not an industrial one. That's why it's so hard for us to find our way around this passage for many of us. I grew up in Belfast. My granddad on my mum's side worked in the yard. I kind of get the industrial thing. You know, you put something in this end and something else comes out that end after a number of people have had a go at it. I get that. But this agricultural thing, so let me say right up front, I'm not a gardener. Back garden's paved over. It's a field, not a factory. I've got to work hard to get that. I've got to work hard to understand that the spiritual life can be tended, but it cannot be manufactured. And without letting ourselves off the hook today about our spiritual life, can we say that it's also subject to seasonal variations? Because it's like what happens in a field, not a factory. Factories don't really do seasonal variations unless it's the 12th fortnight and lots of people are off. Fields do. And so growing in fruitfulness in your life may look different for you as a teenager or a young first-time mum or someone who finds themselves in the sandwich generation where they're looking after young kids and they're increasingly looking after elderly parents or as a new retiree. It's a field, not a factory. But that being so, whatever season of life we're in, isn't the challenge to us about this to ask the question, are we tending our souls? Are we tending our souls through worship and the Word of God and our walk with God and prayer? There's the first picture. It's a field, it's not a factory. Let's move on in the passage and notice something else. That growing in fruitfulness involves pain, and growth involves pruning. Jesus again, verse 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Pruning. It seems such an unnatural thing to do in the garden, at least that's what my neighbors tell me. And we certainly don't like it in our lives, do we? Because it involves change. It means that bits are being cut off that we've got used to so that we can be even more fruitful. And the kind of change that grows spiritual fruit in our lives often means that we have to get ourselves out of ruts that we've lived in for a long time that went this way, and we have to get ourselves into new grooves that go that way. And let's not kid ourselves this morning that that is incredibly difficult. It doesn't happen by accident. It doesn't happen without discipline. It doesn't happen without real hard work. There's pain in the change. There are sometimes things we would rather not have to experience. There are some loads that we wouldn't choose to bear. There are some roads that we wouldn't choose to take. And all of them are painful to us, and they involve pruning. But that's part of the picture. If we're going to grow in fruitfulness, we are going to experience God's pruning. And so the challenge to us here, maybe, is are we embracing God's ways for us? Or are we wanting to just grow wild in our lives? You know, we'll come to church and we'll put our money in the offering plate and we'll sing the hymns with great gusto. But really, once we go out the door, we just want to grow wild. We're not going to let God prune us. That sounds awful. That sounds a bit extreme. We're certainly not going to seek it. But you see, there's no other way to be fruitful but to experience God's pruning. Next thing in the passage, a promise. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. He it is that bears much fruit. That is God's promise. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Not he it is that maybe might bear fruit sometimes now and again. No, no. He it is that bears much fruit. It's a promise. I think sometimes because we don't hear that as a promise, we have lost our expectation in God. We are not looking for the fruit that he wants to grow in our lives. That he is growing in our lives. And that sometimes we just don't notice because we're not looking for it. Over time, have we lost our expectation that God can and will be at work in us and through us? Have we lost our drive for that? Have we lost our appetite for that? Have we lost our enthusiasm for that? Have we become so comfortable that we don't even think about that? Have we stopped looking to see what God is doing in our lives, what he might be calling us to? Have we lost our expectation? And so maybe the challenge here is, are we living with an everyday awareness of God in our everyday lives and an expectation that he will be at work? That he promises our lives as we abide in him will be fruitful. How encouraging is that? It's a promise. Can we take hold of it? Then there's prayer, isn't there? Prayer's right in here. We were thinking in our catechism this morning about prayer and what it is. How good to be reminded about prayer and about prayerfulness. Because it's a very easy thing, isn't it, to live a prayerless life. Jesus in verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. That's extraordinary, isn't it? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Fruitfulness in the natural world is a result of God's unseen hand. And so often we forget that, and harvest reminds us of that. But so often we take his work for granted. Do you know, that's what prayerlessness does. It takes God's work for granted. Prayerfulness asks. It remembers that fruit is given from above. It remembers that without me, as Jesus said, you can do nothing. Not you can do some things, but not quite as well as you would if I was involved as well. No, no, no. You can do nothing. And so the challenge to us here is, what are we asking God for these days in our lives? What are we asking God for these days in our lives? What was the last thing I asked God for? Was it only whenever I really needed God because some crisis had come and I thought, oh, I better pray? Or am I actively asking God to be at work in and through me, in and through his church, in and through the organization that I'm a part of, in and through Sunday school as the kids go out this morning? Prayer. Asking. Because growing in fruitfulness means we get that fruit is given from above. Wow. Then there's purpose. Isn't there in verse 8? Verse 8, Jesus says, by this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. by this is my Father glorified. Do you see what comes first in that sentence? The glory of God our Father. That's our purpose in being fruitful. It's not so that people can look at us and say, what a wonderful person that is. Their life is so fruitful for God. It's not that people might say, what a wonderful church Hamilton Road is. How fruitful. How great those people are that go to Hamilton Road. No, no, no. It's that the Father is glorified. It's about Him. It's not about us. I don't know about you, but just about this time of year when it starts to get darker and colder and harder to get up and go out again at night, sometimes I lose the point of it all, or I'm in danger of losing the point of it all. All the things that we do abiding in Jesus in our church life, in the busyness and the weariness and sometimes the disillusionment and the discouragement and the coldness and the routine, and if I'm honest, sometimes my own ego, I think, what's the point? Do I really want to get up again tonight? It's cold out there. But then you see, I've lost sight of the purpose, haven't I? It's not about me. Not about my comfort or my ego. It's about Him. Everything that we do is for our Father's glory. That we bear fruit is for our Father's glory. It's that people might glorify our Father in heaven and say, how wonderful, how great is their God. So why do we live the way we do whenever it's hard? Why do we do what we do? Well, for this great purpose. For our Father's glory. Two more pictures. Pathway. There's a pathway to follow here if our lives are going to be fruitful, and it's modeled by Jesus in verses 9 to 15 of this passage. Jesus says to His first disciples and to us, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. And then He goes on to unfold the way He lived and the way we need to live if our lives are going to be fruitful. Here are some of the things that we see in verses 9 to 15. As we grow in fruitfulness, our road is marked by the same root points as the road Jesus walked. We know God's love for us. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. Jesus was secure in His Father's love. That's why He was able to live the life that He did. Are we secure in our Father's love? So that we can live a fruitful life and give ourselves to that because we know God's love for us. Come what may, whatever our circumstances. And we obey Him. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. Do you know there's no ducking this today? I know it's not a popular thing to say, but if our lives are going to be fruitful for God, they will only be fruitful if we obey Him and we follow His ways. There is no way to be fruitful in our life for God that involves disobedience, that involves going our own way. There wasn't for Jesus, there isn't for us. Yes, but don't miss the counterbalance of this. Don't miss the finding joy in God. Because doesn't Jesus go on and say in these verses, these things I've spoken to you so that you might be miserable, Presbyterians? No. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and your joy may be, all right, average, a bit happier than a very unhappy world out there. No, no, no. That your joy may be full. Fruitful lives are lives that find their joy in God. And they're also lives that are laid down in the love and service of God and others. This is my commandment, verse 12, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love is no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. There's the pathway of fruitfulness that Jesus walked. He knew God's love. He obeyed his father. He found his joy in God. He laid down his life. Exactly the same for us. What does it look like? What does it feel like to be living a life that is fruitful? That's what it looks like. That's what it feels like. Want to understand that? Look to Jesus. Want to understand that? Read the Gospels carefully and think about how Jesus felt. And we'll begin to get that pathway. And we'll begin to find the strength to walk that pathway as we abide in him and we follow his ways. Last picture to notice in this passage this morning, the privilege. The privilege. Verse 16. You did not choose me. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide. I chose you. I don't know if you were good at sport at school. If you were good at sport and people were picking their teams, you went early. You know, you were one of the people that they wanted on the team. You were bigger, you were faster, you were better than the rest. David, we'll have you. Maybe your experience might have been a bit more like mine. Lots of people are picked, and you're kind of, aye, all right, David, you'll do. You'll do. We need to make sure it's 8-8, so you know what, we'll have you rather than they can have you, and you might get in our way. That's not the kind of choosing that's being talked about here. The kind of choosing that is being talked about here is, David, even though you have sinned against me and gone your own way in your life, I'm choosing you. I'm not leaving you to the end. I'm choosing you to be on my team. I want you to have that privilege. And you know what? I'm appointing you as well. I'm appointing you so that you will go and bear fruit in your life right here, right now. We're a chosen people in here this morning if we're following Jesus. We're not here by accident. God has chosen us. God has put his mark upon our lives. We're placed exactly where and how he wants us to be placed to be fruitful for him. The friends that we have, we don't have them by accident. The place where we work, even if we don't really want to work there because it wouldn't be the place we would choose, we're not there by accident. The places that God sends us to rub shoulders with others, the things that we go through in our lives, none of that happens by accident. They're appointed places. They're appointed time. They're appointed people that we rub shoulders with so that we might bear fruit for him. What an enormous privilege. And so the challenge to us about that maybe is, are we approaching our everyday life like this, with this in view? With the smile of God on us, yes, and about us? Or are we approaching our lives with the sullenness of circumstances and situations that, if we're honest, we don't really care for and we'd rather God had put them in somebody else's life? Privilege of being a fruit bearer, of living a life of fruitfulness. So lots of pictures. You've walked around the art gallery now. Which one stood out for you? Which picture stood out for you? Field, not factory. Pruning, promise, prayer, purpose, pathway, privilege. What bit of the spiritual harvest of fruitfulness do you need to be looking for? What bit of the spiritual harvest of fruitfulness are you maybe looking at now that you've just taken a moment to think about it? Actually, God, is at work in my life in that way? It was passing me by, and now it's coming into view. Which of these pictures is looking at you this morning and staring you in the face, or staring me in the face and asking, well, David, what about it? Do you know, what about being pruned? What about cutting back in that area of your life? What about a bit more prayer? What about that promise of being fruitful? Do you really believe it? What about that pathway, David, are you walking in? Growing in fruitfulness. Let's just dig down with this for one more moment as we picture this in our own life. Let's be positive, first of all. Are we looking for fruit? Do you know what? I firmly believe that God is at work in and through our lives and in and through the lives of his churches around this land in ways that we sometimes just don't have eyes to see because our heads are down and we need to lift them up again. Are we looking for fruit? Let's be people that look for it. What about changing seasons in your life? Because remember, it is a field, not a factory we're talking about here, and we all go through changing seasons in our lives. Maybe we should be asking ourselves, well, in this phase of life, or in this one that I'm about to come out of, and this one I'm about to go into, how can I be fruitful for God in the changing season of my life? What is God growing? Is it something that is difficult, but that's his path for us? Is it something that's just wonderful and there's an amazing harvest happening in here, or we're in a relationship with people out there and we just need to celebrate that? God at work. Are we growing in and out? We talked about depth and we talked about breadth. The in bit's the depth bit. Are we growing in those fruit, in the fruit of the Spirit? And what about the breadth bit? Is this the bit that we've lost? That actually God means us to grow outward as well. It's not all about us. It's not about just him and us. It's about him and us and the world around us and his purposes to bring people to know him. Are we growing in and out? Is there depth? Is there breadth? Is that what we've lost? Yeah, and let's not dodge the biggie. Are we actually growing the harvest that matters? Because there's always the possibility, isn't there, that we are growing another harvest. And it won't last because it's shallow and it's not deep. And it won't last because it's narrowly selfish. It's not graciously generous and outward looking and other looking. No, it's a little harvest for me. Are we growing the harvest that matters? The physical harvest, you know, it can come and go. Wrap it all up, send it all away, bring it out again next year. The spiritual harvest, the life of fruitfulness. This picture that Jesus paints for us here. We can be missing it too, can't we? So may God give us eyes to see his vision for our lives. What he's doing in us and through us as his people, and what he wants to do in this phase of our walk with him. Let's pray.